When people hear space and time, they usually picture two separate ideas. Space feels like the stage where things sit. Time feels like the clock that ticks while things happen. That picture works well for daily life, and it feels natural because experience trains us to think that way. Physics began with the same picture. Early scientists treated space as a fixed grid and time as a universal rhythm. Events took place somewhere, and they happened at some moment. The two ideas stayed politely separate, like coordinates written in different columns. Then careful measurements started to whisper that something deeper was going on. Light turned out to behave in a very peculiar way. No matter how fast an observer moved, light always traveled at the same speed. Walking toward a beam, chasing it in a rocket, standing still on Earth, every measurement agreed. That single fact forced a quiet revolution, because speed connects distance and duration. If the speed of light stays fixed, then distance and duration can no longer stay independent. Space and time began to lean into each other. Imagine describing an event. A flash appears, a bell rings, a particle decays. To locate that event, one must give both a position and a moment. Physics discovered that these two pieces of information blend together in a precise way. Change the motion of the observer, and the split between distance and duration changes, while the combined description stays consistent. That combined description receives a single name, space-time. Space-time treats every event as a point with four numbers attached to it. Three describe where, one describes when. The surprising part lies in how these numbers relate. Different observers may disagree about distances and durations, yet they agree about the space-time separation between events. Something deeper than space alone, or time alone, holds everything together. This explains effects that once sounded like paradoxes. Moving clocks tick differently. Lengths measured along the direction of motion change. None of this comes from faulty instruments or strange materials. It comes from space-time itself, assigning different slices of distance and duration to different observers. A useful way to picture it involves paths. Every object traces a path through space-time, called a world line. Standing still in space still means motion through time. Moving faster through space tilts that path, trading some motion through time for motion through space. All objects move through space-time. They simply choose different directions within it. This single idea replaces many separate rules. Instead of asking how space behaves and how time behaves, physics asks how space-time behaves. Motion, light, cause and effect all follow from that geometry. Once this viewpoint settles in, the universe begins to look less like a stage with actors and more like a woven fabric where events, motion, and measurement share the same structure. The fabric keeps its own order, quietly guiding everything that happens within it. Once that idea settles in, another shift follows almost automatically. Motion stops being something measured against a fixed background. Instead, motion becomes a comparison between different paths through space-time. Two observers moving differently are not arguing about reality. They are slicing the same space-time in different ways. This is where time stops being universal. There is no single master clock ticking for the entire universe. Each object carries its own time along its path. A wristwatch measures how much space-time that particular path passes through. That amount is called proper time, and it belongs to the object itself. Two observers can separate, move differently, reunite, and honestly report different elapsed times without contradiction. Space-time allows it. This sounds strange only because everyday speeds hide the effect. At human scales, the differences are tiny. At higher speeds, they grow. At the speed of light, something remarkable happens. Time along that path stops entirely. For light, there is no passage of time between emission and absorption. That fact is not poetic. It falls straight out of space-time geometry. Light traces the boundary structure of space-time. It marks the limit of cause and effect. Events outside that boundary cannot influence each other, not because of technological limits, but because space-time itself does not connect them in the right way. Cause and effect are not rules imposed afterward. They are built into the geometry. This also explains why simultaneity loses its absolute meaning. Two events that appear simultaneous to one observer may not appear simultaneous to another. There is no single answer to what is happening right now everywhere. Each observer carries a personal slice of space-time they call the present. The universe does not privilege one slice over another. Once this is accepted, space-time stops feeling abstract and starts feeling practical. Satellites orbiting Earth experience time differently from clocks on the ground. Their paths through space-time differ, so their clocks tick at different rates. Navigation systems must correct for this or they fail. The theory does not live in textbooks. It runs quietly inside technology. Then gravity enters the story, and space-time deepens again. Instead of treating gravity as a force pulling objects together, space-time describes it as curvature. Massive objects change the geometry around them. Paths that once looked straight bend, not because something pushes them, but because straight itself has changed meaning. An object moving freely follows the straightest possible path through curved space-time. That path is called a geodesic. Falling, orbiting, drifting through space, these are all expressions of geometry, not force. Remove all other influences, and an object simply follows space-time's shape. This explains why all objects fall the same way, regardless of mass. They are not being pulled differently. They are following the same geometry. The motion comes from space-time itself. Time feels this curvature, too. Clocks closer to massive objects tick more slowly than clocks farther away. Again, this is not mechanical stress or interference. It is geometry assigning different amounts of time to different paths. Space and time no longer act as separate players. They respond together. Mass and energy tell space-time how to curve. Space-time tells matter how to move. This mutual relationship replaces the older idea of forces acting across empty space. At this point, space-time begins to sound less like a background and more like an active participant. It expands, bends, stretches, and evolves. The universe does not sit inside space-time. The universe includes space-time as part of its physical content. Cosmic expansion fits naturally into this view. Galaxies move apart not because they fly through space, but because space-time itself grows between them. No central point is required. Every location sees the same pattern because the geometry itself changes. Even emptiness is no longer empty. Space-time can ripple. Gravitational waves are distortions that travel through it, carrying energy and information. Detectors on Earth measure these ripples as tiny changes in distance, smaller than atomic nuclei, yet perfectly real. Georgetown itself vibrates. At this stage, space and time stop being containers and start being relationships. Distances, durations, motion, gravity, and causality all emerge from a single structure. Learning space-time is not about memorizing effects. It is about adopting a new way to organize experience. Instead of asking where something is and when it happens as separate questions, space-time asks how events relate to one another, which events can influence which others, how much change fits along a given path, how geometry shapes possibility. Once seen this way, many puzzles lose their mystery. Slowed clocks, curved orbits, cosmic expansion, limits on signals follow from one consistent picture. Nothing special needs to be added. Nothing hidden needs to be assumed. Space-time does not explain everything, but it explains why so many things fit together so tightly. It provides a language where motion, gravity, and time speak the same grammar. Understanding that grammar makes the universe feel less strange, not because it becomes familiar, but because it becomes coherent. The fabric does not need intention or awareness. Its structure alone guides the unfolding of events, patiently and precisely, everywhere at once. Once space-time is understood as a structure rather than a stage, another quiet consequence appears. Events themselves become more important than objects. Physics stops asking what something is in isolation and starts asking how events connect. A collision, a flash of light, a heartbeat, a thought, each is an event, and space-time organizes how these events relate. This is why space-time cares so deeply about limits. There is a maximum speed, not because motion is difficult, but because space-time geometry allows only certain connections between events. Light sits at the boundary. Anything slower can be influenced by many events. Anything faster would require skipping over space-time itself. The limit is structural, not technological. This boundary shapes reality in a very practical way. It decides what can be known, what can be affected, and what can never be connected. Two events can be close in space, yet unreachable in time. Others can be distant, yet causally linked. Space-time does not measure closeness by meters or seconds alone. It measures it by whether influence can pass. This is where intuition trained by everyday life begins to soften. Distance is no longer just how far. Time is no longer just how long. Separation becomes a question of space-time intervals. Some separations allow influence. Some forbid it forever. This idea alone explains why the past feels fixed and the future feels open. Events in the past sit inside the region that can influence the present. Events in the future do, not yet. That difference is not psychological, it is geometric. Space-time also explains why changing the past remains impossible. It is not guarded by paradox or mystery. The geometry simply does not permit paths that loop back in the required way under ordinary conditions. The structure blocks them. At this point, space-time starts to sound rigid, almost unforgiving. Yet it also allows extraordinary freedom. Different observers carve space-time into space and time differently, and all of them are equally valid. No observer owns the correct present. Each carries a personal frame shaped by motion and gravity. This dissolves the idea of a universal now, replacing it with many consistent viewpoints layered on the same structure. That realization feels unsettling at first, but it actually simplifies things. Arguments about who is right fade away. The rules do not change, only the coordinates do. Space-time itself does not care how it is labeled. Then something deeper emerges. Energy and momentum are not separate bookkeeping tools floating on top of space-time. They are tightly linked to its structure. Motion through space and motion through time are two sides of the same coin. Change one and the other responds. This is why energy, mass, and momentum transform together when observers move differently. Mass turns out to be concentrated energy moving mostly through time. Light turns out to be energy moving entirely through space. Everything else lies between. This is not metaphor. It is how space-time measures motion. This also explains why adding energy to a system can increase its inertia. Resistance to acceleration is not stubbornness. It is geometry reacting to energy content. Once gravity is folded into this picture, space-time becomes dynamic. It no longer sits passively while matter moves. It responds. Energy curves space-time, and curved space-time redirects energy. This feedback loop shapes stars, galaxies, and the universe itself. Black holes appear naturally here. They are not exotic monsters added by imagination. They form when space-time curvature becomes so strong that all paths tilt inward. Not even light can find a route outward. Time itself points toward the center. Near such regions, time slows dramatically relative to distant observers. This is not an illusion. Different paths through space-time accumulate different amounts of time. Clocks tell the truth locally, even when they disagree globally. At large scales, space-time stretches. The expansion of the universe is not matter racing away from a center. It is geometry evolving. Distances grow because the metric itself changes. This allows galaxies to separate faster than light without breaking any rules, because no object outruns light locally. The space between them grows. This distinction matters. It prevents confusion. Motion through space-time and change of space-time are different processes. Both are allowed. Both are measured. Space-time also stores memory. Gravitational waves carry information about violent events long after they occur. When two massive objects merge, space-time rings like a struck bell. Detectors sense these vibrations as tiny shifts in distance. Geometry itself becomes observable. At this stage, space-time stops being abstract. It acquires physical consequences that can be touched, measured, and engineered around. And yet, space-time remains subtle. It does not tell objects where to go. It defines what paths are available. Objects follow those paths not by choice, but because no alternatives exist. This removes the need for invisible forces reaching across emptiness. Motion becomes local and natural. This perspective also clarifies why space-time feels smooth at large scales and uncertain at small ones. On everyday scales, geometry averages out. On extreme scales, quantum effects begin to stir. How space-time behaves when those effects dominate remains one of the great open questions. Still, even without that final answer, space-time already provides a powerful unifying language. It ties together motion, gravity, light, causality, and time into one coherent structure. It replaces many separate rules with a single geometric idea. Learning space-time is not about visualizing four dimensions perfectly. It is about recognizing that space and time are aspects of one system that cannot be pulled apart without breaking consistency. Once that recognition settles in, explanations become easier. Effects stop piling up as disconnected surprises. They line up as consequences of structure.
Space-time does not explain everything. It does not explain why the universe exists or why its rules take the form they do. But it explains how those rules fit together once they exist. And that is enough to speak about it clearly, to teach it honestly, and to carry the idea forward without mystery or exaggeration. It becomes a way to talk about reality that is restrained, precise, and surprisingly intuitive once the old separations are allowed to fade. At this point, space-time can be treated as a working framework rather than a surprising idea. It becomes a practical tool for organizing physical laws. Instead of memorizing separate rules for motion, gravity, and light, everything fits into a single structure governed by geometry. The key fact to hold on to is this: space-time provides the measuring system for all physical processes. Distances, durations, speeds, energies, and causal relationships are all defined within it. When physics predicts something correctly, it does so because the space-time description remains consistent across situations. This consistency shows up in equations, but it also shows up in experiments. Atomic clocks flown on airplanes return with measurable time differences. Signals from distant spacecraft arrive exactly when space-time predicts they should. Light bends around massive objects by amounts that match curvature calculations precisely. None of these effects rely on interpretation. They are measurements checked repeatedly. Space-time also explains why certain quantities are conserved. Momentum, energy, and angular momentum remain stable because space-time itself has uniform properties. When space looks the same in every direction, momentum is conserved. When time flows uniformly, energy is conserved. These are not coincidences. They are consequences of geometry. This connection makes space-time central to modern physics. Any new theory must respect it or explain why it changes. This applies to particle physics, cosmology, and attempts to unify gravity with quantum mechanics. Even speculative ideas begin by asking how space-time behaves. Importantly, space-time does not remove everyday intuition, it refines it. At low speeds and weak gravity, space-time reduces smoothly to familiar rules. Classical mechanics appears as an approximation, not an error. This explains why earlier physics worked so well before deeper structure was discovered. Space-time also clarifies limits. Faster-than-light communication fails, not because of engineering difficulty, but because space-time geometry blocks causal connections. Absolute simultaneity fails, not because clocks malfunction, but because space-time allows multiple consistent time orderings. These limits are not flaws. They are features that keep physical laws coherent. When teaching space-time to others, the goal is not to force visualization of four dimensions. The goal is to communicate relationships. Events relate through space-time intervals. Paths accumulate time differently. Geometry guides motion. Once these ideas are in place, most effects feel expected rather than strange. At the same time, space-time remains incomplete. On very small scales, quantum effects become important, and the smooth geometric picture may break down. How space-time behaves under those conditions is still under investigation. Current theories work extremely well within their tested range, but they are not final. That uncertainty does not weaken space-time's role. It shows its importance. Any deeper theory must recover space-time behavior where experiments confirm it. This requirement narrows possibilities and guides progress. In practice, space-time acts as the backbone of modern physics. It connects experiments on Earth with observations of distant galaxies. It links clocks, rulers, particles, and fields into a single language. It explains why different observers can disagree locally while agreeing globally. Understanding space-time well enough to explain it to others means being able to describe what stays the same when perspectives change. Distances and times vary. Space-time relationships do not. Forces can be reinterpreted. Geometry remains. Measurements differ. Structure persists. That reliability is what makes space-time useful. It allows prediction without appeal to hidden mechanisms. It replaces separate explanations with one consistent framework. Once that framework is clear, space and time stop feeling like separate ingredients of reality. They become aspects of a single system that organizes all physical change. And with that understanding, discussions of motion, gravity, light, and causality naturally fall into place using one shared set of ideas rather than many disconnected ones.